Hello. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.ByteRadio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp.
Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my special guest joining us from Australia is Melissa Joy Johnson, and we'll be talking about her work as well as her new book, The Art of Limitless Living and the Power of Living a Heart-Centered Life. Melissa Joy Johnson, or also known as MJoy, is best known for her ability to engage people from all over the world to embrace their true authentic power in the field of the heart. Melissa has been teaching the popular Life Transformational Matrix Energetics seminars around the globe since 2008. Melissa Joy is the founder of MJoy, a unifying we movement that provides a new language to experience self-love as integrity. As an intuitive coach and holistic practitioner, Melissa has a diverse client base in more than 25 countries. To learn more, visit her website, which is www.mjoyheartfield.com, and I have a direct link to her website in the show page description. So that, I'd like to welcome MJoy, Melissa, to the show. Thanks for joining me today.
Well, thanks for having me today.
It's my pleasure. So I have to, I guess, start with MJoy, you know, and so tell us, you know, about, I mean, I'll, you know, you go as MJoy, but also MJoy, as I mentioned in the introduction, you know, is a, in the form of the we movement, you know, in that new language. Can you tell us how that all came about?
Yeah, well, MJoy, conveniently, it's my name. My name is Melissa Joy. It was actually my first name. It's not some name I took on later in life because it would be convenient for a marketing ploy. But the MJoy teachings, or the MJoy movement, if you will, is it's effectively, it's like a new language for establishing resonance with the field of the heart, our true authentic self, and really being able to come into a cohesive and congruent relationship with oneself that then enables us to have cohesive and congruent relationships with absolutely everything. So the teachings in MJoy, whether you come to a live seminar or you read any one of my four published books or listen to the audiobooks or come to the webinars, they're all geared toward a form of self-empowerment and really transcending your perceptual filters and your biases and the way that you've historically related to yourself so that you can experience more joy and fulfillment and really become your own best friend. There's a lot of people talking about self-love. And what I hear from students around the world is that the teachings of MJoy provide a new map for enabling people to actually get there. It's not so much talking about it. It's mapping the physics that enables you to experience yourself in a whole new way.
Okay. So now, is this, as I mentioned in the introduction, that you've got, you know, travel the globe teaching matrix energetics. So is this kind of a derivative of that, or I mean, or is it connected? And can you explain what matrix energetics is?
Well, MJOY is not Matrix Energetics. Matrix Energetics is another platform that I taught on from 2008 until the end of 2017. And it's a platform that is also about consciousness expansion, but it is a completely different platform. What I teach in MJOY is geared more toward the individual and geared toward something that I call the power of commanding field flow. So it teaches students how to get in touch with specific morphic fields that influence our experience of reality. Everything that I teach in MJOY complements everything that I taught on the Matrix Energetics platform, because the common denominator between the two is myself. I taught on that platform for a long time and contributed a lot to the teachings, and the MJOY teachings are a different angle of playing with consciousness and interactive reality creation.
Okay. So now your new book, The Art of Limitless Living, can you tell us a little bit about, the idea of what limitless living would look like if we were to be living it?
Well, the Art of Limitless Living is a book that I wrote really in it. It's very timely because we're living in a time right now of a lot of change. There's a lot of chaotic uncertainty. Many of the traditional prevailing paradigms that we've relied upon are starting to unravel, and there is a lot of fear all around the world, no matter what country you're living in. And one of the reasons that I wrote The Art of Limitless Living was to invite the reader to recognize that while things are in a state of flux and things are changing, that even though we think we don't know how to proceed, that we do in fact know how to proceed, that we have all of the ingredients that we need in order to live an extraordinary life, and it's all available through the field of the heart. So The Art of Limitless Living is a book that does not define for the reader what limitless living would look like for the reader. That's really a personal experience. But The Art of Limitless Living opens the reader into recognizing and embodying that we already are what we wish to become, that within the field of the heart are all the key codes that we need in order to navigate moving forward to create new maps during these uncertain times. You know, if we keep doing things the way that we've done them in the past, often based on limitation, we'll continue to get limitation as an experience. And so The Art of Limitless Living is really about a physics of possibility, not predictability. So to me, The Art of Limitless Living is living from the field of the heart. I consider it the heart of limitless living.
Okay, so and when you say the field of the heart, are you talking about living, making our decisions, living our life on heart-based, feeling-based guidance, versus maybe that of the mind or the logical mind?
Well, that's one way that you could interpret living from the heart. However, in The Art of Limitless Living, I go a little bit further because we don't want to live from the heart at the exclusion of the mind. We want to really leverage what I refer to as heart-mind synthesis, coming from the heart and its innate intelligence, which often isn't really a feeling. A feeling is often an emotion that then becomes a thought, and then it's interpreted and it becomes a feeling. So the field of the heart that I'm referring to, it's not necessarily the emotional heart. It's not even necessarily the physical heart. It's not even necessarily the electromagnetic field of the heart. It's the part of ourselves that knows itself as being fundamentally whole and complete. It's really our innate intelligence. It could be described as intuition. It's a knowing without knowing how we know. And we leverage that aspect of ourselves and we combine it with the mind, which is absolutely necessary. It's the mind that enables us to make choices. But the, if we're leading with the mind, we're often leading with schemas based on our experiences of the past. And we will often encode information based on how we've experienced things in the past. And if we want to expand into something new, into limitless living, into unbounded potential, well, then we need to move into the realm where there are no boundaries. And that is the realm of the field of the heart.
Okay. So I'm trying to, you know, for me and for the listeners, get an understanding of how, if it's not feelings and it's not, you know, the physical heart, and you said it's kind of more the authentic knowing, that authentic self and knowing, you know, how do we apply or bring that awareness into our daily lives?
Well, this is one of the things that's really unpacked extensively in The Art of Limitless Living. And we're kind of slicing and dicing terms here, and I've made these distinctions very clearly in The Art of Limitless Living, because a lot of people associate, they think a feeling is an emotion, or a thought is a feeling, and they're actually different ways that they run through our nervous system. But for simplicity's sake, for listeners, it's living from the field of the heart. There is it's like there is this sensation, an experience of we have a knowing. We just know. We have no external verifiable evidence to confirm that knowing. But that, the easiest way to describe it would be our intuition. And we are all intuitive.
Okay.
However, we often diminish or mute out that intuitive knowing in the name of what we call logic. But what is often logic is many times fear in disguise, or it's just a schematic that we've learned in the past based on limited information. And so The Art of Limitless Living really brings the reader into an awareness of being in the heart first, and then allowing the mind to follow, to make choices that are congruent with the heart. And there's many, many ways that that the reader has this experience in the book through what I call practical plays. There's experiences in the book where they can map the difference between being in the heart, being in the mind. Then they can map integrating the heart with the mind. And here's the thing. There's as many different ways to experience being in the heart, to experience our intuition, as there are unique expressions in the universe. So The Art of Limitless Living does not seek to make the reader do it any one particular way. There's a lot of freedom and
mm-hmm.
flexibility, because it's going to be unique for everyone.
Okay, I know that makes sense. So now when it comes to, you know, one of the things we talk about regarding the heart-centered awareness is that it's the key to self-love. Where, when it comes to self-love, what do you feel that maybe is maybe if there's a disconnect? I mean, you know, when people think self-love, sometimes we get into the idea of, you know, it being self-centered, self, you know, very egocentric kind of thing. What to you, what is self-love?
Well, I will concur, egocentrism and even narcissism, if you will, is not self-love. Self-love, actually, there's a physics to self-love. It's something that I map and teach in my live seminars. And it, that physics, if you will, simply stated, it's equal service to self, equal service to others. Where we get confused in the idea around self-love is we think it's selfish. And we think that we are the center of our universe. And yes, in fact, we are the center of our universe, but we're not the only one occupying the universe. And so employing the physics of heart-centered awareness creates a natural symmetry between equal service to self, equal service to others. And so your wants, needs, and desires are important. However, they while they may come from the vacuum, we don't exist in the vacuum. This is what I mean by the we experience. Self-love acknowledges that that there are a multitude of individuals influencing the experience of reality. And when we occupy the field of the heart, there's a symmetry and a respect for everybody's own unique expression. And that physics is a different geometry than, say, egocentrism and specifically narcissism. It's very, very different.
Yeah, and I mean, really, it seems like a lot of what you're saying kind of falls into that quantum realm, you know, the idea of infinite possibility, also the fact of, connected, the interconnectedness, you know, not only between people, between everything. So one of the things that people have been told is that they create their own reality. We create our own reality. So how does that fit or not in the paradigm of the we system?
Well, interestingly enough, I actually open my book in chapter one with that notion of we create our own reality. And I challenge it in a graceful way because I think it is a kind of a new age meme. I think it's something that people have bought into. And I think it's only partially true. We do create our own reality, and reality is also simultaneously happening to us. There's a reality is far more complex than the sole result of your individual choices. That's what I also mean about the we experience. You know, it's one thing to say, all right, in the quantum realm, everything is interconnected and nothing is separate, and that's why subatomic particles can communicate with each other from thousands of miles away. It's another thing to take those principles into real life as a practical experience. And at the level of reality where we are all functioning here on planet Earth, the individual is not the sole creator of reality. And so what the Art of Limitless Living and all of the MJOY teachings bring forth is the recognition that reality is something we are participating in creating, as reality is also happening to us simultaneously at the collective level. And being able to kind of reconcile those two somewhat discrete notions is what is available to the Art of Limitless Living. Because if you and I are on a radio show, as we are right now, and something happens 3,000 miles away from you or 3,000 miles away from me, which we're probably about that far away from each other right now, further, are you and I responsible for that? Well, at the quantum level, we could say, yeah, well, everything's one. But at this level, everything is distinct expressions appearing to be separate, and we aren't responsible for everything that is happening. And so being able to understand that both are relatively true, but not absolutely true, can make the difference. Because if you think you create your own reality and then you get pummeled by something that happens at the collective, well, then you're left feeling somewhat powerless, thinking you did something wrong and maybe you don't have all the right skills to be a powerful creator of reality, but you only have part of the equation. And so employing the whole equation can enable you to make some different choices that will leave you feeling more empowered rather than rendered powerless.
Okay, well, you know, that makes sense. And I think the idea of, again, what you talked about, people, kind of a current belief that we create our own reality, and that pummeling, you know, some external circumstance and the resulting feeling, you know, someone, what did I do? I think, you know, that, you know, what did I do? Why did I track this? You know, what, you know, I think that really, like you say, is disempowering. I mean, it really takes away from the fact that it's, you know, an external force, you know, that is, you know, taking part of your reality. It's a part of your reality. And, you know, so, you know, and in that sense, I think that, you know, that's, it's wonderful, the idea of marrying those two perspectives, you know, to be able to be empowered, you know. So now when you're, you know, you're teaching people, you know, those two particular perspectives, how does one, let's see here, you know, step toward integrating those two? I mean, you know, it's one of the things, like, okay, I can realize now that I truly don't create my own reality in totality. You know, that there is, you know, there's this big collective, there's other things going on that would influence my reality. So is the key then to recognizing that, you know, that other force and integrating it or creating or making new decisions based on that?
Well, this is part and parcel why I teach so much from the field of the heart, because the field of the heart is really actually able to occupy multiple perspectives simultaneously. And so integration happens naturally. There is no distinction between, say, self and other, or that perspective as being different from one's own. So the integrative process happens naturally. The more we spend time making distinctions from the field of the heart, when we are in the field of the heart, to me, and the physics supports this, the field of the heart is, it's all inclusive. And so what happens when we go into the field of the heart, that that force that seems to be outside of ourselves, that's coming at us, creating a certain situation or circumstance, is naturally married to ourselves. And so then we have the power to make a different choice, not from a framework of separation, but from a framework of connection. So it actually happens really naturally and really organically. And it's not something, it's tricky because it's not something that happens from the mind. The choice happens as a natural progression of being in the field of the heart, where all of a sudden other options become available that you didn't recognize when you're coming at it from a point of view or a perspective. Does that make sense
okay.
to you?
Yeah, it does. You know, and you know, I guess one of the things, I guess it's more of a just a natural occurrence, you know, rather than, you know, because, I mean, I and probably a lot of people out there, you know, try to look at, solving issues or changing perspectives in a linear fashion, rather than having something happen, you know, on multiple levels, you know, and that changes the whole dynamic in a way. It seems that you have to kind of allow things to come together, you know, rather than try and have a distinct line of thought to have them to come together.
Well, I personally don't think that you can get there by trying to think your way there. You know, and this is where you know, reading the book is it's an experience that actually carries you there, simply by reading the language that's in the book, whether you do the practical plays or not. You know, the experience of being in the field of the heart, it really is as easy as breathing. And in many, many ways, we've moved our awareness out of the field of the heart. We've acclimated to thinking we need to be linear and logical and use our mind, and we're navigating from a framework of segregation. And when we allow our awareness to move back into the field of the heart as a natural embodied experience, then the integration, the inclusion, the connection happens naturally.
Okay. So now, when we're talking about the fear and negativity and the chaos that is surrounding us. Is that is that one of those kind of forces or situations that is, you know, kind of a part of our reality? Do we have to give attention to those in order for them to be a part of the reality? You know what I'm saying? I agree with you that right now it's a time of, you know, of a lot of uncertainty and a lot of fear and a lot of, you know, dark kinds of perspectives and feelings. And right now, I mean, I myself try to not give that any attention, you know, and for me, it just makes, you know, me feel that I can handle what's going on me around better, keep myself in a much better place. But nonetheless, those are still happening. So I guess the question is, am I doing myself a service by not feeding into or allowing that to influence me?
Well, you would know the answer better than I would. Here's what I will put forth for our listeners is that, you know, I am not advocating denial. I'm not advocating that we deny what appears to be happening at the collective level. I absolutely agree that what you put your focus on will be reflected in your reality and your experience. But there's a difference between being aware of what's happening and resonating with what's happening versus denying what's happening. So maintaining an awareness of the things that are transpiring, you know, personally in your life and also collectively can be really, really useful. But that's different than necessarily resonating with something or going up against something to try to change it, which actually creates resonance with what you're trying to change and will potentially make it play out and persist. So there's a difference, and this difference is unpacked in the Art of Limitless Living. You know, even if we have our heads in the sand at the level of the unified field or at the quantum level, as you referred to it, we're aware of everything. And so you might be denying it consciously, but at an unconscious level, your field is aware of everything that's happening instantly at all levels and layers of consciousness. So awareness is power, but awareness is not necessarily resonance. So being able to choose your resonance once you allow yourself to be aware of everything that's happening, that's a key to limitless living.
Okay, that makes sense. Well, we're halfway through the show, Melissa, so I want to take just a quick break. And then when we come back, you know, I want to talk about how, you know, MJoy in the we, what do you call it? I think it had a movement, but what would you call the we what? Movement, perspective, paradigm.
Yeah, I just call it the we experience. I love language and
experience.
I love play on words.
Okay.
And you know, we've moved from it being all about me, right?
Beyond
the narcissism to we all live in this together.
Great. Okay. Great. So we'll take just a real quick 90-second break, and then we'll continue. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back after this very brief break.
Hello, this is Robert Sharp. I want to thank you for joining us and hope you are enjoying today's show. Just a reminder that we have a wealth of information and resources available on our website, www.biteradio.me. There is a calendar of upcoming shows, along with an archive link that will give you access to more than 1,200 shows we have had over the past 7 years. Also on the site are links to the products and services we provide, books, greeting cards, photography, and a wellness store. Our show is available as a free podcast on iTunes, and you can subscribe for free at the iTunes Store, or even quicker, there is a link on our website homepage. We are also on many social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, etc., and we also have buttons to those platforms on the top of our homepage. Our website, www.biteradio.me, has much for you to explore and enjoy. I also very much appreciate you supporting our guests, and especially today's guest. And now, back to the show.
Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us again today. My very special guest joining us from Australia is Melissa Joy Johnson, and we're talking about her new book, The Art of Limitless Living and Power of Living a Heart-Centered Life. Again, you can find out more about what Melissa has to offer by visiting her website, which is www.mjoyheartfield.com. And again, I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. Okay, so with that, we're back, Melissa.
Hello.
Great. Okay, I've got you there. So when I was going reviewing your website, there is one link that you have to holograms. So to me, that's a fascinating topic. So in that link, you talk about fractal holograms. So can you tell us a little bit about, you know, what they are and you know, I don't know much about them, and I'm sure our listeners don't. So can you just enlighten us about those?
Sure. So there's many different facets to the MJOY teachings. And my newest book, The Art of Limitless Living, is a book that I've written in a very practical manner to enable readers to come into a better relationship with themselves. While there's science embedded within The Art of Limitless Living, I really wrote the book without the science because some people get intimidated by the science, or they feel like they don't have an aptitude for it, or they get all stuck in their head trying to understand the science rather than allowing themselves to have an experience. My prior book, Little Book of Big Potentials, is a book that really delves into the metaphysical principles of how nothing becomes everything. And I talk about torsion fields and scalar wave technology and how torsion fields nest together and they create fractals that then create the building blocks for all of matter. So that's just a little background around something that you came across on my website. So the fractal holograms are a multi-sensorial full immersion experience into these specialized morphic fields that I teach about in one of my seminars known as the MJOY Integrative Seminar. If we go back to what we were talking about before the commercial break about how the notion that we create our own reality is only partly true, the other piece of the equation is that a lot of our reality is being influenced by these grids of information. I'll use Rupert Sheldrake's terminology. He calls them morphic fields. Morphic fields are like non-local containers of information that organize the experience of reality for all of living organisms. So simply stated, they're like cloud servers. Like if you were to want to get specific information from your computer, you might log on to Dropbox and you would have access to information from a particular cloud server. Morphic fields are a little bit that way. So when we're resonating with a morphic field of, say, fear, then our experiences are going to reflect fear. When we're resonating in a morphic field of lack or limitation or separation, then because we're connecting up to a particular grid of information, like a cloud server on Dropbox, we're downloading specific information into our fields and certain experiences are going to match whatever we've downloaded. The fractal holograms that you came across on my website are an access point into specialized grids that I teach in the MJoy seminars that enable people to experience more joy, more flow, more self-love, more fulfillment, more abundance, more of everything that we want to experience in our lives as, quote, conscious co-creators. The fractal holograms themselves follow specific mathematical ratios that enable our own fields to re-encode information. So if we've always kind of run a pattern called self-hate, then coming into contact with one of those specific fractal holograms provides the information to our field to correct that confusion, if you will. And so the fractal holograms are an access point into one component of the MJoy teachings, because I teach the power of commanding field flow. Those fields, which are super powerful and accessible to anyone who comes into contact with them, are all encoded in my newest book, The Art of Limitless Living, without the scientific explanation, without any sort of esoteric woo-woo or fringe science. The language that's utilized in The Art of Limitless Living encodes for all the information in those fractals without necessarily taking a scientific angle or even a metaphysical angle. It's written in a very practical way. And simply by reading the book, your biofield begins to reconfigure. The confusion, the distortions, the resonance with grids of limitation naturally modifies through the language that is utilized throughout the book and that is woven throughout every chapter.
Okay, wow. So what I'm trying to kind of gather from is the encoding in the book, the wording, and just the way that it's, well, I guess, let me just use the word encoding again, that is what will, just by simply reading it, then it will allow the reader access to those different fields, the morphic fields?
Yeah, a simpler way to look at it is states of consciousness. Subsets of reality. And you know, I hear from readers around the world, oh, I just started reading your book and my anxiety that's been plaguing me for months is suddenly gone. I also hear from readers, I just bought your book and holding your book, I'm feeling different because the information is hologrammed through the book. So just having the book in your field can support you in establishing a different resonance. I strongly encourage people open the book and read it. Have the experience, allow yourself to be carried by those words. The Art of Limitless Living, it's like it's basically key codes for transforming the experience of yourself, which then transforms your experience of everything.
Yeah, okay. So now in the book, do you have exercises or different ways that people can apply the information that you provide?
I do. In fact, one of the things that I'm pretty known for is something that I dub practical play. And at the end of every chapter in almost every book that I write is an opportunity to play with the principles that were shared in the chapter that you've just read. And so, you know, rather than making it about an exercise that you have to do, these are options for interacting with the information and having an experience of what you read. So it doesn't stay in your head. It actually becomes an embodied way of being. And they're very playful and very flexible. One of the things I don't like when I'm reading a book is when I'm told I have to do something a certain way, I'll, you know, completely try to do it the opposite just to prove that I can. And so they're gentle suggestions for ways of interacting with the information. And certainly if it occurs to the reader to do it a different way, that's perfect. It will still work.
Okay.
Because we work.
Great.
Because we work. I mean, that's the fact.
Because we work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that makes sense. Now, one of the things that, when we're talking about, limitless living and possibility, when it comes time to removing or kind of getting past that limiting thought process, is there, what do you find are some of the basic reasons why we limit ourselves like we do?
Well, I think many of the reasons have to do with the way that we're programmed, in our families, in culture, in our educational system. And I'm going to throw something out there that may surprise the listeners, but there's nothing wrong with limitations per se. It's the way that we relate to those limitations. And so, a limitation is just a boundary or a parameter of consciousness. So where we get tripped up is when we actually believe those limitations, or we think those limitations define us and then they confine us. And so what's available to the reader in The Art of Limitless Living is how to recognize perceived limitations and then how to kind of transcend those limitations so that they can become a springboard into something different. But most of, we are habituated in our consciousness to believing certain things are true, that those limitations are true, and then reality will conform accordingly. So there's a confirmation bias that occurs, and it becomes really hard to recognize that that simply because it's true in that subset of reality doesn't mean it's absolutely true.
Okay. So, and when you said perceived limitations too, I mean, that kind of just stuck out to me. It seems that, perception and like you say, some of the things that we were, kind of raised in and the patterns that we may have experienced in life up to now, serve as a kind of a guide to, reinforcing some of those limitations. It just seems that, once one can start breaking or getting beyond those limitations, does it become easier? I mean, when we think about limitations, we can think of so many different aspects of our life, where we may be having those perceived limitations. So by overcoming or, shattering, the idea of those limitations in one particular area, does it make it easier to do so in other areas of our life?
I would say it can. I've been shattering perceived limitations in my own life for, a couple of decades now. And daily and each day I encounter another new perceived limitation. So yeah, it becomes progressively easier, but the more you dig into questioning what is ultimately true, the more you're going to discover that nothing is absolutely true. And that's a tricky place to be because, even our ideas around ourselves may not be absolutely true. So the more you play with it, the less seriously you take yourself, and the more you encounter a willingness to transcend the limitation, the easier it becomes. A lot of times we will encounter a limitation and we'll just say, that's the way things are. I can't do that. And then we don't even try. But allowing yourself to experience the limitation and still move through it with a willingness to explore it and perhaps expand beyond it can allow for it to kind of fall away. It's funny. I've been traveling now. I'm on a five months out of a 6 month round the world tour, which was a challenge to a perceived limitation. I challenged myself to teach my way around the world. And, one of the things I expected to happen during my travels was that my fears would go with me, because wherever you go, there you are. And one of the things I noticed early on, probably about 6 weeks into the trip, was that a lot of my fears were actually not with me, what I expected them to be there because they were so familiar. And so I kept kind of bringing them up, but it wasn't there in precisely the same way. So a lot of our limitations stay with us because we expect them to be there. We just think that's simply the way we are. And so really being willing to question what you think is true and the way that you're relating to your experience of reality can allow things to fall away somewhat organically without a lot of effort.
Well, that's the way to do it. Yeah, if you can get to that point to have it happen organically. So now, what would the reader expect, you know, from reading your book? I mean, obviously it would be, you know, individual, but I mean, in general, what are some of the kinds of, maybe just even the feedback that you've gotten beyond what you've already talked about during the show, about how one's life, the reader's life, can be affected?
Well, I hear consistently from people that they really like the approach that the book is not all about like working on yourself. You know, we can become addicted to self-improvement. The book starts from the premise that we already are what we wish to become. We just need to kind of let go of the perceived confusion around the way we've constructed our reality. So people really appreciate that they get to kind of start on an exhale and that it's not your typical self-improvement where you have to read the book in order to be better than where you were at the beginning of the book. Many readers say that simply by reading what I'm sharing, they feel themselves expanding into the concepts that I'm introducing, the notion that we are limitless, that we can experience self-love, that we can enjoy ourselves, and that we can affect what appears to be happening at the collective. I've heard stories, as I mentioned earlier, you know, anxiety going away from the first couple of pages. There's a whole chapter on freedom from addictions, which is kind of a different paradigm on an approach to freedom from addictions. But, you know, people have read the book and they said they stopped drinking. Their relationships with their family has improved, promotions at work. I'm hearing all sorts of, you know, miraculous stories, if you will, but they're not really a miracle when you understand the physics behind it. So it's a book that can open your heart, it can open your mind, it can connect you more consistently with your intuition and really give you a roadmap for choosing for yourself how you want to navigate moving forward.
Okay. Well, yeah, again, it sounds like very individualize it and probably the reader will get what they most need from it, it sounds like.
Well, yeah, I would say that is the case. And, you know, a lot of times we think we know what we need and what we really need is
right.
to stop thinking that we need something outside of ourselves in order to be okay. And that's really kind of at the heart of the book is recognizing we're already complete, we're already whole, and we simply need to shift up the way that we've been relating to ourselves and perceiving certain situations and conditions, and everything realigns accordingly.
All right. Well, Melissa, I really thank you for your time today. I mean, it's really been fascinating. I love the idea of getting into the physics of it and, you know, and just the whole idea of the limitless and possibilities. To me, those are two areas where I think, you know, people just sometimes don't go there. You know what I mean? It's just one of those things where, you know, sometimes we're also in our rut, our day-to-day rut, that we, you know, don't allow ourselves the freedom and joy to be able to think that way.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity to share a little bit about The Art of Limitless Living. It's available in print edition, ebook, and it also recently released an audiobook lovingly narrated by the author. So there's different options for different readers.
That's great. Well, thank you very much for your time and getting up there early in Australia. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm actually calling in from the future. So in your future is buy the book and read it now. It'll change your life.
Absolutely. Great. Thank you. Again, everyone, today my very special guest has been Melissa Joy Johnson, and we've been talking about her book, The Art of Limitless Living and Power of Living a Heart-Centered Life. And again, you can find out more about the book and just so much information on her website, which is www.mjoyheartfield.com. And again, I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. So everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth Show. And until we meet again.
Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth Show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me. That's B-I-T-E. RADIO.ME. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Byte Radio Me, and our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.